So this morning, welcome to our prayer service. Now things are unfolding a little bit different today. We didn't have this in mind, say, on Monday, but it's Saturday right now, January the 15th, and we've had to pivot. We're actually recording this service in our building, as I said, Saturday, January the 15th, because we encountered some technical challenges. There was basically this real battle between a squirrel and the internet, our cables. And the fact that I'm standing here on Saturday would tell you who won that battle. The squirrel is the reigning champion. And as a result, we ran into some technical difficulties. And so I just want to express gratitude for the staff and for a number of our volunteers who have come in this morning to pre-record this service for you who are watching this right now. Either you're watching this church online or you're going to be watching this later on YouTube. So there will be nobody in our sanctuary this weekend in light of those difficulties and in light of the squirrel winning the battle. So with that all being said, we want to officially begin here. And to do so, let's read together, perhaps as you watch this video, this short video of the Apostles' Creed.
We believe.
We believe.
Nos creemos.
We believe in God the Father Almighty.
Kullun bemishlo begiyariyam al namnallan.
Vanathim bhumiye undaki sarvavallamulla pidavage devane viswasikkaru.
Maker of heaven and earth.
Creador del cielo y de la tierra.
Nyomanyonywa yong agbrukpake.
We believe in Jesus Christ, his only son, our Lord.
Inaman na gofta Jesus Christos.
Vale la vasono hitorigo. Vale na nosu Jesus Kristo sinzu.
Único filho de Deus, nosso Senhor.
Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Который был зачат Святым Духом.
Born of the Virgin Mary.
Утроме Марии Йори Маре.
Suffered under Pontius Pilate.
Алитесека чиния Понтио Пилату.
Was crucified, dead, and buried.
Был распят, умер и погребен.
He descended into hell.
We believe.
We believe.
Апоя.
Тунамини.
We believe that on the third day,
of the third day, he rose from the dead.
He ascended into heaven.
And sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From there he will come
to judge the living and the dead.
Desde ahí vendrá a juzgar a los vivos y a los muertos.
We believe in the Holy Spirit.
Мы верим в Святого Духа.
We believe in the Christians.
A igreja cristã.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins.
我らは 罪の許しを信じ.
Benjamin的啓示.
We believe in the resurrection of the body.
Draconitis inamana.
We believe in the life everlasting.
내게 지원 온다는 것을 믿습니다.
Amen.
Amina.
Amen.
So I love that video. I love that reading of the Apostles' Creed. From every nation, every tribe, we believe. And you think of the diversity of the body of Christ just over the last 2,000 years, not only in who has gathered, but in how people have gathered. We believe. And that belief of nations and tribes and people groups leads to the ecclesia gathering in all forms to worship, to teach, for fellowship, connecting, for serving the community, for evangelism, and to pray. We read of the genesis of that in Acts chapter 2, a We Believe group coming together. And I want you to read with me. So as you sit on your couch or wherever you are this morning or today when you're listening to this, would you read with me from Acts chapter 2? This is a community of people coming together who have come to faith in Jesus or have freshly come to faith in Jesus, recently come to faith. And this is a beautiful picture of the church. So reading together, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Sometimes when I read that passage, I am jealous of the deep work of God that was in effect in that first century, in those first several months of the birth of the church. But then as you read the fine print, as you read the rest of Acts, they too had their challenges and obstacles. Well, today we come together. We can't accomplish every purpose that's mentioned in Acts 2 in this moment, but we can at least accomplish one particular one, and that is we come together to pray. In fact, at this time of the year, every year, Bethel comes together for what we call our most crucial conversation, which is prayer, because it leads into our crucial conversation series, which you'll hear a bit more about a little bit later on in our service. But right now, we want to invite you to the most crucial conversation, and that is prayer. How many today, as you hear me say prayer is a crucial conversation, would actually agree prayer is crucial? There's a number of reasons why it's crucial. Like in the Apostles' Creed, it's crucial because, well, of who we're talking to. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Pretty crucial when you think of who you're talking to. It's crucial because of what our needs are. For many of you, as you listen, your needs have gone off the need meter. There are just so many issues, so many needs that are out there. Sometimes our needs help us understand how crucial the conversation is. What it can accomplish, prayer, it's crucial because of that, because it doesn't shape God's heart, it shapes our hearts, prayer. It's also one of the marks of a disciple at Bethel, and so it's crucial. We talk about being a people that want to diligently seek God, passionate hearts for God. We talk about the importance of being biblically measured, having a life that is reflective of God's truth. We talk about a whole heart for the whole gospel, for the whole world. That's a mouthful. We talk about being relationally healthy, which takes lots of work at times. But we also talk about being prayerfully engaged. So it's a crucial conversation. Prayer is a crucial conversation because it's one of our marks. It's a biblical mark of a disciple. And really, it's foundational to the church. So we believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And thus, we come together today to pray. And so here is our service format as we move through our service. We're going to do some remembering and reflecting. We're going to do some grieving. We're planning ahead of time. We're going to tell you we're going to grieve. Some of us are already grieving with heavy hearts these days. We want to celebrate, have that built into our service, and then as we conclude, look forward. And we really want to encourage you to choose to engage, choose to focus. Some of us are multitaskers. You know, some of us watch movies and Facebook at the same time. Sometimes I do that. We don't want you to do that today. We want you to set aside your phones, turn them off, do whatever you need to do to focus in and engage. So top up your coffee, whatever you need to do, so that you can be focused in the next hour that we spend together. Also, we're going to be doing communion together. So make sure you have your bread and your juice, and we'll come to communion in a bit. So that's where we're going to go. But before we jump into that order that we just showed to you, I'm going to invite to our platform two individuals who mean a lot to Bethel, mean a lot to a lot of people, including myself. Steve and Julia Coy, I always butcher their last name because I just like doing that. So Steve and Julia are going to come up here at this time. And come on up, guys, and make sure you turn your mic on. And we're really glad, we're thankful. Thank you for pivoting so that you can be here on Saturday as we pre-record this. But these guys lead one of the campus ministries at Queens called Geneva House. And maybe Momentum too, you can maybe talk about that. But they represent one of the campus groups that we partner with. Bethel partners with all campus groups, but this is one of those groups that we partner with. And so I asked them to come in today to kind of represent all students, all campuses, and just say campus groups talking about what's been going on. So here's the first question, guys. In light of In light of lockdown, what are some of the pivots that you guys have had to make in terms of ministry that you know that are happening on campus right now with campus groups?
Well, we just want to say hello to everyone who's watching. Thanks so much for having us here. And we like you more than you like us. So pivots, yeah, it's shifts, right? A couple big shifts. The first one, I think, a shift to online. So at the end of last semester, we were about 90% in person, which was amazing. And everyone was loving that. It was almost like the promised land, almost, because 100% would be. Right. But, you know, but 90% is pretty good. Mm-hmm. And so we were celebrating that. We were loving that. As we start this semester, we're about 90% online. So big shift, big shift. And online is good, right? Online has its benefits. I mean, during the pandemic, it really helped us grow as a ministry because you can reach more people. So we became a regional campus ministry. But online, I think, is best when not everything is online.
Absolutely.
Right? And so when everything is online, then students in particular get screen fatigue. And what we found is that they drop off quicker and they just get really tired. So there's lots of challenges with online stuff, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, for sure. So some of the challenges are, you know, figuring out are students here in Kingston or are they back home? And do they prefer things in person or online? And then just trying to follow all the rules can be challenging as well, for sure.
Yeah. So have you been able to establish, I know this is a guess maybe, for how many students have come back into Kingston?
That's a great question. So what we're noticing is that a lot of the first years are staying home. You say that's true, and a lot of the upper years are coming back, and so we're not sure exactly the numbers yet, but I think one of the dynamics of that, especially our fourth years, are saying this is my last semester, right? Like these, and this is my last kick of the can. I got to be back here, and now everyone's supposed to stay home, you know, Queens anyway.
Yeah.
International students are here as well, so. You know, as we've looked, we're thinking actually the majority of people will be here, I would say.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm thinking 60-40. That's my prediction. That's my Super Bowl prediction.
Your Super Bowl. So ultimately 60-40.
I think so. Yeah.
But we're not there yet. And one of the reasons we're doing this, just as you're talking, part of Bethel's mission is students. Students are part of our church, are a huge part of our church. And so it's important as we're listening this morning. That, you know, some of the things we wrestle with, like we're all screen fatigued, right? We're just discouraged at times of lockdowns. Same thing's happening with students, right? So it's important that as you're listening, that you kind of identify with the students and even ask yourself the question, how can we make a difference for students, which is really difficult. So maybe on that note, what's the mental health state? Condition of students these days, and what are some of the things that they might uniquely be struggling with?
Yeah, so we did a survey this week. So this week is the first week of term for Queens, even though you probably don't notice it because they're supposed to be back home.
Yeah.
So it's pretty quiet around here in Kingston.
It is.
Next week is the first week of class for St. Lawrence. And so what we did was we surveyed our leaders, our people, and we said, we sent them a survey and said, how are you doing? We want to know. So we gave them five categories. How are you doing? Are you amazing? Are you not bad? Are you meh? Are you not good or really not good?
Yeah.
And what was surprising was, now again, this is first week of term, right? And they're coming off holidays. So what was surprising was most people said, not bad. So 58% of the people we surveyed said, not bad.
That's not bad.
25% said amazing, which really surprised me. We'll talk about, Julia's got some direct quotes that are really helpful to understand them. But some of that is like, oh, I'm back home with my family. I like my family. I'm doing well, you know.
Yeah.
Again, also first week of term, right?
Yeah.
This is in February. But 18% said meh. 18% meh, which was our middle category. So
18% said what?
Meh, M-E-H, you know, meh.
Oh, meh. I didn't hear the meh. Are you trying to pronounce a word I don't understand?
Meh.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that's good. That's bad.
That's not good. Yeah,
that's not bad. Good.
That's meh. But it's not bad.
It's
not really bad. It's meh. You know, it's that kind of
category.
Okay. Right? So I was like, wow, I'm surprised. I thought everyone would say, I'm not doing well.
Yeah.
And we know some people who aren't doing well, right? And we're walking with them. But in general, I think they're quite optimistic. Julia's got some direct quotes, I think, that are really helpful. What are people saying, Julia? Tell everyone.
Yeah, so this is from the survey that Steve did. Someone said, the pandemic is making me sad, Less work hours is tough. School is about to start, but it's all online, which is a bummer.
Yeah.
However, all of that isn't too bad. And someone else said, doing pretty good, but tired of being in lockdown and not being able to see people and go to school. And then someone else said, online school is rough and it's hard to pay attention over Zoom. I'm not able to see my friends other than video calls, but I'm blessed to be with my family.
Yeah, so
So I think overall they're surviving, and their first week they're surviving, which is good. Right?
That's right.
But the biggest need is is community.
Yeah.
And so they're really, like, the isolation piece came up over and over again. Even people who are doing really well, it's like, if they're doing well, they have community, they have family, they have supports. If they're not, they're like, I'm really worried about what this is gonna look like in terms of isolation.
Yeah.
So, like, in person, and I say community, like, online community is good, but they're craving in-person community, which we experienced last semester, right?
Yep.
And like the well, when we did it here, tons of people, you had that with services too, right?
Yeah,
weren't you telling
us
most of the people were students who came?
Yeah, most that we were returning for us were students. So just as we wrap here, there's lots of negative stuff going on, but there's lots of positives. So a couple positives as we end, and then I'm gonna pray for you guys.
Yeah, well, I think that one of the biggest positives that we're so thankful for is our partnership with Bethel, and we're working closer with Bethel than ever before, really. And we actually, like last semester, we're working closely because we had to. Like we had, you know,
not because we wanted to.
No, not really. Like, I mean, out of desperation, we're like, well, I guess.
After, yeah.
But I mean, we had no place to meet. Like they closed campus down.
Yeah.
We couldn't actually meet on campus in Bethel, and you guys have been so generous, so supportive, and said, and you've housed us. You've been a sanctuary for us, literally, a safe place. And you've said, hey, you know, use our facilities, use all of our tech stuff we didn't even know. We just press some buttons and stuff. And it's been, you guys have just been so generous, and so that is one of the big things I'm thankful for.
I'm really, really thankful also for being able to use this space, and so we're offering Alpha, which we're excited about,
okay.
We would love prayer for, and so we have lots of leaders, which we have to do because of the small groups are now capped at 5 people, so prayer for Alpha, we're excited to see more people come to faith and choose to follow Jesus and just grow in their faith through huddles and mentoring.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was a big, we had a big semester last year, right? With one student in particular, we all worked together.
Absolutely,
she made a decision to follow Christ, which was a real thing. So we're super excited about that. And also, I think the third thing is, like, I think I'm really excited and really grateful for students realizing they need community, right? So there's not the sense of, like, oh, I can do it on my own. There's a felt sense of, no, I need people, I need community, which is good because that's what our mission is, right?
Yeah.
Our mission is to be an incredible community where people experience Jesus and his transformation.
Yeah.
And so if students realize they need community, that's good for them.
Yeah.
It's good for us, and it's good for the kingdom.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to just take a moment to pray, and we're going to do something really weird here. I just got a weird idea, but let's do this. We've done this before when we're live, but so from home, we're not going to ask you to touch the screen because that would be weird. But if you just would be comfortable just to extend your hands as an expression of just God bless this couple and bless campus ministries. I mean, whether it's Geneva or Power to Change or there's a list of them, but bless campus ministries and our students. And so if you're comfortable, you should be comfortable if you're at home. You just extend your hands towards this couple and let's just pray. Just take a moment. Pray God's blessing over Steve and Julia. Just thanks again so much for being here. So Lord, this morning we are grateful for our students. We're grateful that whether it's St. Lawrence, RMC, Queens, that every year students come to Kingston. And Lord, I know sometimes there can be challenges with that, but it is an incredible opportunity to impact Gen Zs. And to demonstrate the love of God. And we thank you for campus ministries. We thank you for Geneva. We thank you for Steve and Julia, for other leaders and other groups and all that they're doing. We pray for them. We know that their challenges are similar to ours. We pray, Lord, that you would bless their online ministry as 90% of ministry is now digital. We pray that screen fatigue would not cause people to pull away, but that they would lean in a little harder, make the effort to stay connected on the screens until things open up. We pray, Lord, that evangelistic efforts such as Alpha would be highly impactful in this day and age, that we would see many, many kids come to faith in Jesus through this initiative, that there would be a raising up of leaders. And so, Lord, we just pray for your blessing over these campus groups this year. And in particular, Steve and Julia, just as they continue to lead, grant wisdom, grant health, discernment, grace, the ability to pivot in these days. So we bless them. We, the church, we bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So thank you. Yeah.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Rhonda Kachapak. Well, we've been through a crazy year. It's been a wild ride the last couple of years, hasn't it? And if you have a profile on Facebook, you likely will recall the Good Riddance 2020 comments that came flying through at the end of the year, and the happy welcoming to 2021. Like the flip of the calendar year would change everything, would wipe out the pandemic, restore what was lost, and return us to some sense of normalcy. Well, we know that that assumption was misguided, sorely misguided, and that while there were good things that happened this past year, it's been a hard year, and certainly wouldn't have made it into the best of years category. Well, this morning, in this portion of our service, we'd like to take some time to look over this past year, to remember and to reflect, both on a personal and on a corporate level. Socrates said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." Reflection and then acting on that reflection is actually critical to our ongoing growth and to our depth. So in the next several minutes, I'm going to ask a series of questions for us to consider and to reflect on. There won't be time to dive in deeply into our reflection together, but I'd encourage you to pay attention to what comes up for you and then reflect on it further. So grab a tablet or a pen and paper just to help you focus. And let's be as fully engaged as we possibly can over the next several minutes. And I'm going to read several questions and then leave about 30 seconds after each. And so just take even just that 30 seconds just to tune in and see what's going on. Don't feel that you need to reflect on questions that don't resonate with you. So in the personal category, here we go. Pen and paper ready. And just tune in and pay attention. What event, situation, experience, or relationship stands out to you as especially significant over this past year, positive or negative? And I encourage you just to pick one or two. So what event, situation, experience, or relationship stands out to you as especially significant? What thoughts or emotions come up for you as you reflect on this? What has its impact been on you? To what extent has there been a lingering effect on you? To what extent did you invite the Lord into this situation, experience, or relationship? What's your sense of what He wanted to communicate to you? Your sense of what He wanted you to do? And if you didn't invite Him into that situation, experience, or relationship, would you be willing to do that now? Just listen for His promptings. What comes up for you in answer to the question, what about this situation, experience, or relationship would be helpful to reflect on further? So in addition to what came up, what else do you need to reflect on once you leave this service? I'd encourage you to do that in the very near future. So let's just shift to looking at things from a corporate perspective. So in this section, I'm going to list several challenging things that we've experienced as a faith community. Again, pay attention to your response, both your thoughts and your emotions. And make note of those things that have had an impact on you. We'll spend less time in this section. So if something comes up for you, make sure that you note it and then come back to it later. And I encourage you to invite the Lord into that process. Ask Him to lead you and to help you to reflect on it. So first, from a national and an international perspective. Fallen leaders. Make note of any names that come to mind. A steep decline in church attendance across North America. And then closer to home, Bethel. What's the impact been on you for months of virtual services? And then when we were finally able to come back together, just limited access to in-person services. Limited corporate worship. Heard lots of people comment on how wonderful it was to be able to worship together corporately. But what impact did that limited corporate worship have? Staff changes, some coming, some going. Lack of cohesion in our community, not knowing who's here and who's not, who's moved away. And then some small C conflict around disputable matters and contentious issues, things we've had to navigate personally within the body. And then challenges around making our children's ministry and youth ministry accessible. So Jamie is going to come up and help us to go further with this. But before she does that, I just want to pray for us. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You that You are Emmanuel, God with us, and that You've been with us in this challenging season. Thank You that You are Elroy, the God who sees and who knows what's had an impact on us. Thank you that you are our counselor and an ever-present help in time of trouble. For all of us, I pray from Scripture, search me, O God, and know my heart. Would you show us what you see? Would you help us to invite you into those areas that need attention? Would you guide us into all truth? And may we know you as the God of all comfort in those areas where we're hurting. Thank you for your love and for your presence. Amen.
Simply put, grief is loss. It can be the loss of someone you love, the death of a dream, the end of a season, or an abrupt turn in your life that you didn't see coming. A couple of weeks ago, I quoted this passage: "Grief is the gift that nobody wants. It comes to us wrapped in sandpaper with a barbed wire bow. The mystery of what's inside the gift of grief has the power to grow your faith or to blow it up." Grief changes us, doesn't it? Maybe in this season, we need to give grief a place in our life and process what has been lost so that we don't lose hope. I have found that it's important to pray your way through grief and allow God to heal and transform you and bring you back to a place of readiness and hope. So we're going to take some time to grieve right now. But before we do that, here are some things to consider. As you thought about some of the questions that Rhonda has already mentioned, maybe what you choose to focus on isn't what you need to grieve. However, maybe what came up in the first part of our service is something that you know that you do need to grieve. Or maybe something else will come to mind, like a loss or a disappointment in this past season. So pay attention when you think about what you need to grieve. Pay attention how weighty this grief is for you. And it's important to gauge whether or not this is the place to step into it right now as you consider these questions. What have you identified that needs to be grieved? Ask yourself if you are willing to grieve with God. And if you are, invite him in rather than shut him out. And what thoughts or feelings surface as you think about your loss or your disappointment? And maybe what you are grieving is because of something that you see happening in a broader context, and you want to take time to grieve in a more corporate way. Rhonda has mentioned some of the challenge that we have experienced in the past 20 months in our broader church context. Things like fallen leaders and drop off in church attendance and the closing of services and limited corporate worship. Our staff changes, not knowing who Bethel is and who's here and who's not. And maybe the conflict on disputable matters or contentious issues, or the challenges around family and youth ministries. And maybe as you think of those things, maybe you need to take time to grieve how polarization and division and church drop-off has affected our churches, not just here, but also globally. Or what thoughts or feelings surface when you consider the church on a global scale? We're going to play a song of lament taken from Psalm 42. This song was written by Mike Jansen, who has been here at Bethel with Jason Hildebrand for the performance of Breathe in 2017. He's an incredible and accomplished musician and songwriter, and in 2019, Mike suffered from a severe concussion that kept him in his darkened basement with nothing but time on his hands. Now, I won't go through all the details of his story, but needless to say, he went through an incredible time of grief and suffering. And he spent time in the Psalms crying out their words to God and putting them to music because he had no words. And in this desperate time of his life, he created what is now called the Psalms Project. And before its release in January of 2020, a bunch of Canadian musicians gathered to record some of these songs just in time for the pandemic. So the song that you're about to hear comes from the heart of someone who was familiar with grief and lament. So as we listen to his version of Psalm 42, feel free to open your Bible to this song and spend some time with the Lord in your grief. You can pray silently, you can grab a pen or your phone and write down your thoughts and prayers, and maybe you even want to start writing your own psalm using Psalm 42 that you can maybe finish later. And then after the song is over, I will come up.
The Lord directs his love and
Lord, many of us are grieving. Thank you for being the God of all comfort. And God, would you comfort us in our loss? Would you hold us and remind us that you will never let us go? Help us to welcome the gift of grief. Help us to not make it any bigger or smaller than it is, but give us the courage to walk all the way through it. And remind us that it will only be okay one day, but that it is also okay right now and right here with you. It's okay to just sit in our grief in your presence. Lord, we're counting on you to make good on your promises. We need you to. Thank you for the work that you're already doing in us as we pray together. We will do what only we can do. And now, Lord God, we pray that you would do what only you can do in all the places and in all the ways that we are undone. Amen. You'll notice that in the end of that song, Mike finishes with, "But yet we will praise the Lord, and yet we will thank him." So even in our grief, we have much to celebrate, don't we? So now we want to turn to Psalm 86, and we're going to read it together. So if you have it there in front of you, you can look at that on the screen. Bend down, O Lord, and hear our prayer. Answer us, for we need your help. Protect us, for we are devoted to you. Save us, for we serve you and trust you. You are our God. Be merciful to us, O Lord, for we are calling on you constantly. Give us happiness, O Lord, for we give ourselves to you. O Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask for your help. Listen closely to our prayers, O Lord. Hear our urgent cries. We will call to you whenever we are in trouble, and you will answer us. No pagan God is like you, O Lord. None can do what you do. All the nations you made will come and bow before you, Lord. They will praise your holy name. For you are great and perform wonderful deeds. You alone are God. Teach us your ways, O Lord, that we may live according to your truth. Grant us purity of heart so that we may honor you. With all our hearts, we will praise you, O Lord, my God. We will give glory to your name forever, for your love for us is very great. You have rescued us from the depths of death, but you, O Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Look down and have mercy on us. Give strength to your servants. Save us, the son of your servant. Send us signs of your favor, and then those who hate us will be put to shame. For you, O Lord, help and comfort us. As you consider the past year, what do you want to celebrate and give thanks to God for? What are some maybe unexpected gifts that came amidst the limitations and the challenges of 2021? So we want you to think about that question. What are you thankful for? And as you are thinking about that question, we would like you to invite you as a congregation to speak out what you are thankful for and want to celebrate today. And as you're speaking it out, if you would like to put it in the chat box, we welcome you to do that. Just type in the chat box if you would like. And let's just fill up that chat box with praise to God. Some of the things that came to my mind as I was thinking about what we're thankful for is we're thankful, you know, as a church for our strong finances that have allowed us to update the sanctuary. We were able to open finally for in-person services and people stepping up even as we've experienced so much loss. And singing together for the first time was also something that I was very, very thankful for. And as you continue writing in the chat box, if you'd like, I'm just going to close in prayer at this time. Lord, even in our grief, we are aware that we have so much to be thankful for. And Lord, it is with sincere gratitude that we offer you our list this morning. Thank you for your provision in our lives, for your faithfulness, for your forgiveness, and for your unfailing love. Where would we be without you in our lives? And Lord, we just want to say this morning that we love you. In Jesus' name.
So we're moving into our last section, and let me just encourage some of you, if you're being a little distracted, just hang in there with us, stay focused, because this is a crucial conversation. And as I was sitting listening to Rhonda and Jamie lead their sections, there is such a need to lament, there is a need to grieve, and I don't think at times the North American Church, Bethel, we've always done that well. Some cases we have an underdeveloped theology of lament, and so it's been good to do the reflection, remembering, grieve, celebrate, and we would encourage you to go back into those notes and to do some work in that area. In fact, if you're in a life group, it would be great to go back to some of this material and process it in community. That's really where it could be very, very beneficial. But this last section is looking forward. And I love what comes next. We look forward together. We're not alone. And in this section, we're going to look forward together with Christ. And then the next section with each other. And then together into a new chapter. So we're going to move through these fairly quickly. But in this section, we're going to do communion. So if you need to get your bread or juice, I would encourage you to do that right now. And I'm just going to demonstrate how you do that, because I just realized my bread and juice aren't right here. So perhaps like you, it's not right there. So I need to walk over here and bend down, get my bread and juice. And hopefully that's made some of you comfortable to get up from your couch or your chair and to go get your bread and juice. So together with Christ, we come to communion. We're with Christ. Remember, Jesus said to the disciples in the Great Commission, "I will be with you always to the ends of the earth." That was a statement to them and to all of the disciples that would ever come to faith. In fact, the Apostles' Creed that we heard read at the beginning says, "We believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead." His resurrection means that he is present with us. And so this sacrament this morning, the bread and the juice, among many other things, reminds us of his presence. We hold the bread, we hold the juice to remind us of what he did, but also of where he is. He is with us. As I was thinking about this just about 5 minutes ago, as I was anticipating coming up here, I thought, you know, it's interesting. My wife and I, we live in a home that was built by my mom and my dad. And there's all kinds of things in that home that my dad designed. My mother had a huge part in that. Reminds me of how they used to be present with us. They used to walk on this planet. But I would be kidding myself if I thought that that house reminded me of their current presence. That would be another religion. That would be another faith. Well, as we hold the bread and the juice, it reminds us of God's presence in our lives, past, present, and future. The sacrament, the bread and the juice, is not a memory of someone that used to be with us, it is a reminder of who is with us. We are look forward together with Christ. So if you would just take your bread at this moment, and in my context here, I just take the plastic cap off, hold the wafer. Would you just take your bread? If you're a follower of Christ this morning, we believe, right? I believe. Let's just take a moment. Just examine our hearts before we eat. And if there's a need for you, just to confess. Father, forgive me for I have sinned. If there's just anything that you need to get right in your heart, that might be a big undertaking, but perhaps you say, Lord, yeah, there's something in my heart that's not quite right. I need to confess that to you, and then I need to go do some work with the person that I might need to reconcile with or whatever, have that conversation with. So we realize that. But if something is brought to mind this morning as you hold the bread, just confess it to Jesus. Just confess it now. So let's just take a few moments, few seconds of silence here before we partake. So as we hold the bread, would you say this together, which you see on the screen, reading with me together? We look forward together with Christ. Let's partake together. Now if you take juice, Paul wrote in Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This doesn't remind us of how he used to be with us. The bread and the juice reminds us of how God is with us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So will you read with me together? We look forward together with Christ. In fact, if you just want to take a moment right here, I'll just give you a few 30 seconds here just to, if you just need to pray for someone this morning, someone who you say, God, they really need to know you're with them, someone you know that going through a difficult time, family member, whatever, and you just say, Lord, help them to know that you're with them, because it's together with Christ. And perhaps they're not even a believer. They're going through a difficult season. They need to know the presence of God. So if someone has come to mind this morning on that issue, would you just take a moment to pray for them? God, might they know your presence. Let's just take a moment.